Well, I am honored and excited to be here this Sunday. It has been an absolute joy to be with your students all weekend long. I hope they have as well. We've had a blast. I mean, God has shown up. God has shifted lives. Okay, all right, good. I appreciate that. Y'all aren't clapping yet because y'all weren't there, I know, but you're going to be enjoying it in a minute. Man, we've seen God move. We have seen God speak. We've seen students, man, just respond to the call of God from His Word on their lives. And man, we're in this room. And here's what I want you to know right now. This morning is not just for students. See, when we open up God's Word pierces hearts. And I believe this, God's Word knows no age discrimination. Look at your neighbor right now and say, God's after you today. Would you tell him right now? I could tell y'all weren't ready for that. So look at your neighbor and tell him this, God's after you today. Go ahead and let him know. See, God has you right here, right now, in this moment, in this room, because God has something that He wants to say to you. So I always ask people to do two things. Number one, if you have a Bible, grab it, open it up. This morning, we're going to be in Judges chapter 2. If you don't know where Judges is, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, come on somebody. Judges. All right. The seventh book in the Bible. We're going to be in the second chapter. Always remember this. Chapter number 2 comes right after chapter number 1. Just a helpful hint for anybody who might be confused. So Judges chapter number 2. And we're going to look at it in just a moment. This entire weekend, though, we have been talking to the students about what does it mean. I'm sorry. Here, maybe we messed up there. Let's see. If y'all will maybe check the slide and make sure I'm on the right thing there. We've been talking to the students all weekend long about this powerful word. It's a word that God gave us. It's a word that God pushes us on. It's a word that God says, this is what I want you to do. And that is you need to, say it with me, church, what? Stand. Stand. Out of Ephesians chapter 6, we walk through what does it look like in this day and age to stand? What is the call that God has on us to stand? We started on Monday night, or Friday night, and we said this. We said, listen, if you're going to stand, you've got to know that you are in the Lord. Because He says, stand, therefore, in the Lord. See, if you and I are going to know how to stand against the tide of the world that is coming after us, if we're going to stand up for Jesus, if we're going to stand for what is right, if we're going to stand in a day of people that are bowing down, then what we need to do is we need to know, number one, that we are in the Lord. Then we came back on Saturday morning. We said, listen, if we're going to stand, we don't just need to know that we are in the Lord. Secondly, we need to know who our enemy is. And we spent Saturday morning, I may freak y'all out a little bit, just talking about the devil, the enemy, the serpent, the liar, the deceiver. We spent a little while just uncovering his masquerades and his schemes and what he plans to do and what his desires is. And then we came back that afternoon and we said, listen, if we're going to stand, we got to know that we are in the Lord. We got to know who our enemy is and we got to be battle ready. In other words, we got to put the armor on. So I told students this. You need to get dressed. So would you tell your neighbor that right now? You need to get dressed. Go ahead and tell them that, would you? And what I mean by that is, man, you need to put on the armor of God that every day the Lord says, armor up, get ready. The battle is for real. The battle is ferocious. And if you are in Christ, you are in the battle. Amen? God's called us to stand. And this morning, church, what I want to do, though, is I want to call us as a church to stand. I want to call us as a cross-generational body of believers to stand up for this next generation. I travel full-time with our ministry called Rage Ministries, and Rage Ministries just simply stands for reaching a generation endangered. When we look at this next generation, we see a generation that is described for us in the Bible. I told you to open up your Bibles to Judges chapter number 2, and let's just see what Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 says. It says this, it says, and all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, Here's what he's saying, that Joshua and Moses and all of these mighty men and women of God who were captives in Egypt and were taken out of Egypt, rescued by the mighty hand of God, even despite their rebellious hearts, brought them across the sea on dry lands, provided manna from them from heaven, water from rock. They saw God do crazy, mighty, awesome, miraculous things. The Bible says that all that generation were gathered to their fathers. I want everyone in this room just to look around the room for a moment, because there's a lot of us in 50 years that ain't going to be here. Myself included. And if we don't get serious about what happened to this next generation, guys, just think about it, because 50 years will go by like that. And if we don't get serious about standing up, standing for, standing with this next generation, I'm afraid this will be said about us as well. It says, and another what? Another, say it, generation after them came up. Look close. And it says two startling truths about them. They what? Say it. Did not know the Lord. Reality number one. Or secondly, and they what? Did not know the work that he had done. See, when we looked at that generation coming up after these mighty men and women of God, which blows my mind, that there was a generation that saw God move in crazy, miraculous, mind-blowing ways, and that they would have children and grandchildren come up after them who didn't know the Lord and didn't have any clue about the things that he had done. See, this right here is the heartbeat of our ministry, that Judges 2:10 is never said of another generation in our lifetime. And it ought to be the heartbeat of this church to make sure that that is never said of what we're looking at when we talk about Generation Z. This generation sitting right here. Our heartbeat ought to be, not on my watch. It ain't gonna happen while I'm here. I'm gonna do everything I can with everything I have to make sure this generation, number one, knows the Lord, and secondly, knows what he has done. A survey was recently done on Generation Z. I wanna share with you some of the findings. The first finding is this, that they found out Generation Z was more atheistic than any other generation that we've ever known in the United States. Teens ages 13 to 18 years old, they found out, were twice as likely to say they are atheists than their parents. 6% of adults, while about 13% of teens. As well, there's a higher percentage of atheists in Generation Z than any other generation we've ever known. When we look at teens of today, not only are we finding out they're more atheistic, we're also seeing that they are less Christian. Only 4% of teens in the U.S. today hold to a biblical worldview. Just let that sink in case it's too early to do, you know, math. That's 4 out of every 100 teens hold to a biblical worldview. Not only that, we found out that teens ages 13 to 18, 10% fewer of them claim to be Christian than just the generation ahead of them. In other words, church, we're not gaining ground, we're losing ground on the next generation. And maybe one of the most startling stats that I read and we realized out of this study, one of the most heartbreaking, was that 35% of Gen Z teens consider themselves to be atheist, agnostic, or have no religious affiliation at all. Let that sink in for a moment. In church, here's what we can do. We can look at stats like that and go, yep, I knew it, they're trouble. Or we can let it break our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and say, guys, we can be part of the solution, or we can continue to be part of the problem. And church, we've got a choice to make today. And I believe God is calling the church, no matter how old you are or young you are, to go after this next generation like never before, to make sure that they know there is hope and that hope has a name. And students, what is hope's name? His name is Jesus. See, Generation Z not only is more atheistic and less Christian, they're also losing hope. Do you realize that suicide is Gen Z's second leading cause of death? Between the years of 2007 and 2017, the suicide rate for people ages 10 to 24 increased by 56%. For children, ages 10 to 14, the suicide rate tripled after years of decline. See, when we look at this next generation, this is why we say we're going after a generation endangered, because if we don't get serious about reaching them, they will move from endangered to extinction. And church, we have to decide, are we going to fight for our preferences? Are we going to fight for what we want? Are we going to fight to keep things the way that we prefer? Or are we going to lay down our lives so that the next generation can know about Jesus? People ask me all the time, Ryan, like, why are you still going after students? Like Matt and I did camp 10 years ago together. And now a decade later, man, we're still getting after it. I'm sure you get the question too, man, like how much longer you got, man? How many more years you got in you? I was talking with one of your adult leaders this morning. It's like, how many more years you got in you? You know, my beard's gray, my hair's gone. Like how I don't know how many more years I got. Here's the reality, guys. We got as many years as God gives us here. And we got to be serious about going after them. People ask me, like, Ryan, why are you so passionate about going after this next generation? Ryan, why does it matter so much? Can I tell you one reason why it matters so much? Because 2/3 of everyone who ever comes to Jesus does so by their 18th birthday. Let's just do a survey. This is such a scientific survey, but let's do it. How many of you in this room who are followers of Jesus, who you know that he is yours and you are his, you're saying, man, he is my Lord, he's my God, he's my King. How many of you said yes to Jesus as your Lord on or before your 18th birthday? Hold your hands up high. Hold them up high. Look around the room. Guys, here's what I want you to understand. This is why going after the next generation matters. This is why at our ministry, we say reaching a generation is not a me thing, it's a we thing. We are Rage. We are reaching a generation. It's going to take us all. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Go ahead, tell him, all right? Let him know. Like, it's going to take us all. Nobody gets a pass on this one. So that begs the question then, how do we stand up for this next generation, Ryan? How can we reach a generation endangered? I've asked you to get something to take notes with. I'm going to give you some points, some ways that we as a church body, we as a family, we as the people of God must go after the next generation. Number one, write this down. To reach the next generation, number one, we must invest in the next generation. Okay, I'll say that again. To reach the next generation, we got to invest in the next generation. Isn't it funny that the Bible teaches the law of the harvest? I know we got some farmers around here. What's the law of the harvest? You reap what you... Oh, good. Y'all know that, right? Y'all thought your grandma made that up. She didn't. The Lord gave us that. In Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says this. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Say it with me, everybody. For whatever one sows, that he will what? Also reap. Hey, if in 10 years there aren't any more young people in this building, you want to know why? It's because we haven't invested in young people in this building. Now, I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying I think what Matt's doing, I feel like and I sense like this church, man, y'all are going after, y'all are investing in, y'all are for the next generation. So I don't want you to hear that I'm saying you're not. I'm just saying we can't stop. We've got to continue to invest in this next generation. How do we invest in them? Number one, we need to invest in them spiritually. You need to be praying. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you again. Go ahead, because y'all all think I'm talking to someone else. I'm not. I'm talking to you. You need to be praying daily, regularly, without ceasing for the next generation. Those stats should stir up in you a holy, righteous anger. And it ought to drive us to our knees. We've got to invest in this next generation spiritually by praying without ceasing. We've got to invest in this next generation financially by giving. Here it is. Here's the key, though, without complaining. Like, we've got to invest in this next generation by giving without complaining. We got to say, man, what do we need? What's it going to take? How can we continue to pour in, pour out, and go after this next generation? We got to invest in them practically. You got to find some way to get involved. I love the Matt. You recognize people that gave fruit. That's awesome, right? You're like, hey, if you were part of this weekend in any way, any fashion, any form, like you gave cookies, by the way, or you gave fruit, or you provided meals, or you gave financially. He's like, man, here's the reality. Are you prayed? Here's the reality. Every investment matters. And we all have a role to play. If it's just prayer lapping the building over there, do that. If you're a smiler and a greeter, do that. If you can teach and lead, do that. You've got to invest in this next generation spiritually, financially, practically. But might I say this, you've got to invest personally. Right now, I want you to write this question down. What can I do? I don't see anybody writing, so I'll say it again. Right now, you should write this down. What can I do? And I don't want you to ask that question to yourself. I want you to ask that question to God. What can I do to be part of reaching this generation endangered? Because the mission field is wide open, and we've got to be serious about going after them. To reach them, we must invest in them. Secondly, to reach them, we must invite them. Write that down. To reach them, we must invite them. In other words, there should not be a student in this area that doesn't know First Baptist Church Pflugerville loves the next generation. You're like, well, I'm not really around students. You're around their grandparents. You're around their parents. And so when you start talking, they start talking about their kids or their grandkids and their need and maybe their worries and maybe their fears. Why don't you tell them, hey, you know what, man, at our church, our next gen ministry is second to none out there. Zero, none of them. You need to come. You need to bring them. They need to be part. I love what the Bible says in Luke 14, 23. And the master said to the servant, what did he say? Say it with me, everybody. Two words. Go out. Like, get out of here. Go out to the highways and the hedges and what? Here it is. And what? And compel people to come in that my house may be full. I love the story in John 1 where the Bible says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. And what did Philip tell Nathanael? We have what? We found him. Who's him? Jesus, the Messiah, the one, Jesus of Nazareth. And I love what he said. So Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael's like, for real? Like, you sure? And here's what Philip said. Say it with me, three words. Come and see. See, if we're going to reach the next generation, here ought to be our motto for, hey, just come. Come and see. Yesterday morning, or maybe it was the afternoon, I'm sorry, yesterday afternoon, I encouraged all the students, hey, to think of one or two or three people in your life in this area that they could invite to come back that night, because last night I was just going to preach the gospel and just going to very simply lay out the gospel. And so you had a friend that didn't know Jesus, you had a friend that you loved, a friend that you thought needed to be part, that God put on your heart, like shoot them a text and invite them. Many of the students did that. One young lady did that. She sent it to a friend. Her friend got the text. Her friend said, I'm coming. Her friend showed up last night. Her friend heard the gospel, and her friend last night said yes to Jesus. Come on, somebody. We can clap about that, right? Now, think And here's what it took. It took a simple text invitation, a 15-second invitation, a 15-second investment, a 15-second invite changed someone's life forever. Who is it that you are inviting in? See, if we're going to be serious about going after this next generation, we've got to invest in them. We've got to invite them. But thirdly, if we're going to reach this next generation, listen, write it down. We've got to introduce them. I don't know any other way to say this. It's like, hey, FBC Pflugerville is not the point. Jesus is the point. I love what one pastor's business card used to say. It's been probably two decades ago that he gave me his business card. On the front, it had his name, his address, his phone number, email, all that stuff. And on the back, it said this very simple statement. I'll never forget it to this day. He said, if you get this card, meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you get this card, meet my Jesus and forget him, you've lost everything. I was like, man, what a position to have. The card is not about me. I'm just a conduit to point you to Jesus. I love again in John 1 where the Bible says one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew. He was Simon Peter's brother. Now he first found his own brother Simon, and here's what he said to him. We have found the Messiah, which means Christ. And I love that. Let's just read this last sentence together. And what did he do? Say it. He brought him to Jesus. Hey, can I ask you, when you close your eyes here on earth for the last time, whether that's today or 30 years from now or 40 years from now or 60 years from now, who will you have brought to Jesus? Church, our mission is simple. Our call is clear that if we're going to reach this next generation, man, we've got to invest in them. We got to say, hey, come on, get in here. We got to invite them in. But we've got to introduce and point these kids to the one that matters. And that one that matters is Jesus. Number four, write this down. This is where it gets a little messy, all right? Because to reach them, we must include them. Uh-oh. See, here's what I found, and y'all just happen to have a really nice setup for an illustration. It's honestly not a slam or anything against your church, but here's what I find out. A lot of people love children and students over there. Now again, I'm not slamming you. I'm just saying, it's just a great illustration here. They have their own building, their own place. They're across the street. We're like, man, pack it out. But we don't really like them that much. In here. They're loud. Come on, students. Y'all know you are. That's good. They're messy. Yeah. They don't know the right etiquette. They mess things up. They talk. They got phones out in church. What in the world? They're just different, right? But see, we can't just reach them if we just want them here. We've got to include them in. Like, you've got to have, I didn't see it. I don't know. Again, it's just a challenge for us pressing forward. Like, some of these students can sing. Some of these students are blessed. Some of these students can teach. Some of these students can serve. When's the last time you serving in this church asked a student, say, hey, come serve alongside of me? Like, I'm just going to say there ought to be some students up here. There ought to be some students at doors saying, I'm glad you're here. Now listen, there's some students that shouldn't be greeters, you know, like just like there's some adults that shouldn't be greeters. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're not a people person, don't stand at the door because nobody wants somebody hanging at the door like this. Right? But I mean, you know, some students, man, they're just outgoing like everybody's their friend. Put that person at the door. You're like, well, man, I'm so glad you're here. We are, woo, welcome to church. Man, where have you been? Oh, you've been here for 10 years. Awesome, I'm glad you're here right now. I mean, but we need people serving in all parts of the body. Isn't this what Jesus invited the disciples to do, by the way? I love what he said. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two people, Andrew and Peter, and then he said to them, what did he say to them? He said, hey, come what? Follow me. And that's why Paul would tell the church in Corinth, what? Be, say it, imitators of me. Guys, if we want to reach this generation, can I tell you what? They don't want to just come and sit. They want to come and be part. And so we got to find ways to get them to be part, to actively engage them in the ministry. And so you as a leader, there ought to be people there. Man, there are students who can run that tech stuff like nobody's business, and they ought to be back there helping. And I know when I say that, people get territorial. Not in church, right? Yeah, we know. Like, we can talk about ourselves. We know how we are. We're like, nah, that's mine. Mine, mine, mine. Hey, if in the next year we don't have students involved, we don't have students helping, we don't have students plugged in, listen to me, in 10 years you won't have students around. I'm just being honest. Every year in the United States, 3,000 churches close their doors because they decided not to include the next generation in what they were doing. So church, this is a challenge to us. To reach them, we must invest in them. To reach them, we must invite them. To reach them, we got to point them to Jesus. To reach them, we got to include them in the ministry. To reach them, write this down, man, we've got to what? We've got to inspire them. Here's what I mean by that. Like, we got to stir up these young brothers and sisters. I mean, isn't this what the writer of Hebrews says? He says, let us consider how to, say it with me, somebody, stir up one another. To love and good works. Don't neglect the meet together, as is the habit of some, but what? Say it with me, church, but say it in, oh, we got to do louder and prouder than that, but what? But encouraging one another. Like, these students should have walked in, and some of y'all should have said, man, I'm glad you're here. Man, it's great to see you. Boy, look at all y'all shirts matching. I know y'all didn't buy those at Walmart. Y'all must have been part of the weekend, man. I'm so glad you came. You're looking good. It does my heart a joy to see you in the house this morning. If some lady with white hair says that to these students, it's a game changer for them. It's a game changer. If some man who with the cane and wrinkled face and been here for 50 years looks at a student and goes, young man, it's so great to see you in God's house today, it's a game changer for them. If Matt does it, it's his job, right? But if you do it, all of a sudden it's a joy. And we got to stir up one another. Man, I'm so glad you're here. It's awesome to see you. Thank you for being here. We've got to inspire them. Lastly, I'll say this, and we're going to spend some time just praying and responding in here. I would say this: to reach the next generation, and maybe this is most important. I say probably it for last for that reason. But to reach them, we must intercede for them. I don't know any other way to say it except this. It's like, guys, if we're not going to pray for the next generation, we're going to lose the next generation. And two people believe that. And I'm going to say it again. Like, if we don't get serious about praying for, with, and over the next generation, listen to me, we will lose this generation. And a church that gets serious about interceding for this generation will reach this generation. Every great revival that we can trace back, that we've seen the Holy Spirit of God just blow up, reach, change, save, and breathe life into an everyone that we can trace back, started with prayer. And that's why this morning, I want us just to pray over for and with these students. I love Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it says this. It says, now to him who is what, church? Do you believe God is able? Man, do you believe God can reach this generation? I mean, I know I threw some heavy stats at us on the front. I mean, to think that 4% hold to a biblical worldview, think that 35% of teens in our day claim to be atheist, agnostic, or have no religious affiliation at all. To see masses just bowing to the culture. Guys, I believe God and only God can shift that tide. See, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, than what? Than all we what? Ask or what? Think. So here's what I'm gonna say, man. We're gonna pray over students here in a moment. And here's whatever you can pray over them, here's what this verse tells me. God can do that plus a bag of chips. Mean do more. He can do all that and more. Do you want to see Pflugerville on fire for Jesus? Go after these students. Chase after them. Lay down your life for them. Welcome them in. Bring them alongside. Man, when that happens, I'm telling you, life will be in this church like never before. And until that happens, I don't believe life will be in here like ever before. It's going to take us all. It's going to take us all. So students, I'm going to ask y'all to do me a huge favor this morning. I'm going to ask y'all to stand up right now. Would you do that? Just stand up where you are. If you're a teenager, I don't care if you were in the weekend or not at the weekend. If you're a teenager in the house, I pointed right here. But wherever you are, teenager, next gen, stand up in the house. Teenager, child, y'all stand up in the house. Come on, everybody in the house. Now I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit crazier, okay? Maybe weird. That's good. We like weird because that's what we are. Here's what we do. I'm going to ask you to come down, and I'm going to ask you just to spread out all. Y'all got a big old stairs, right? So just come on in and spread out all. So y'all come over here and just kneel down all over this place from there to there. Just come on. All of y'all, come on. Just come on down. I want you to kneel down all over this place. Man, can we praise God for the students in the house this morning? Just spread out all over here and all over there. Just go ahead. There's room. I want you to go all the way around as far as you can and just spread out. We got room over here. Y'all, come on. There you go. Lead the way. Awesome. Come on over here. There we go. Awesome. Man, what a, whoo. Man, praise God. Praise God. Hey, thank you, moms. Thank you, grandpas. Thank you, dads. Thank you, grandmas. Thank you for pouring into them. A lot of you have prayed for them for generations, and this is, man, they're here, and God is at work, and God is moving in them. See, but I want you students right now, I want you all to look at me. I believe you have an opportunity to be used by God to bring a fresh fire in this area, listen, that I can't do. But God working in you, God working on you, God working through you, he can. He's called us to stand. And I know I gave you, or you wrote down two or three names yesterday that you needed to be praying for. I want you to pray for two things this morning. Number one, I want you to pray for the friends you wrote down yesterday. If you know what I'm talking about, just write your hand, nod your heads like this, nod your head, okay? And then secondly, I want you to pray for you. I want you to pray, God, use me to point my friend to Jesus, to invite them, to invest in them, to include them, to encourage them. Everybody got it down here? Y'all say got it? Now, something's going to happen in just a moment. I'm going to invite adults to come. And here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask men to come down and just lay hands on young men. And I'm going to ask women to come down and just lay hands on young women. And if you don't know what that means just come put your hand on their shoulders and I want you to pray over them and for them. And here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to pray in your head Baptist prayers. I know how we do. We're like, I want them to hear. I want them to hear you praying for them. Let me tell you why that matters. Every time I say this, it kind of messes with me. Here's why it matters: because some of these kids have never had an adult pray over them. Maybe they've never heard a grown man or a grown woman pray for them. Man, something changes when we voice our prayers out loud. There's a shift that takes place. So I'm gonna invite, as Ben begins to sing over us and for us, this beautiful song, Come to the Altar. Students, when he starts singing, I want you to start praying. And when you start praying, and he starts singing, I'm gonna ask you adults to start coming. Maybe your grandkids down here, maybe your child's down here. Maybe you're like, dude, I don't even know any of those kids. You don't have to know them to come pray for them. And I just want you to pray out loud that God would use them. God would grow them. God would send them out, that they would be generation changers, world shifters, that the Holy Spirit of God would work in them and on them and through them to bring revival in their generation. Adults, everybody got it? Say, got it. So I'm going to pray. When I say amen, Ben's going to start singing. They're going to start praying. And adults, I want you to start coming. And this is no rush, man. This is no rush. Piccadilly can wait. I know there's not one around here. I just like saying Piccadilly, all right? But I want you to come, and I just want us to spend time praying for this next generation. Then I'm going to ask Matt in just a little bit to come, and man, pray is close us out. So God, I thank you for this generation that's kneel before us right now, Lord. They're kneel before you. And God, I'm thankful for these young men and these young women and how you're going to use them. God, I believe that you've got great things in store for them. God, I believe though there are tough days ahead, there are great days ahead. Lord, even though the world is running from you, I pray for every one of these students that they would run hard after you. Holy Spirit of God, would you set a fire in them that no one and nothing can contain. May First Baptist Church Pflugerville be a place where revival starts. And Lord, may it start right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come? Would you come and pray? Students, would you begin to pray for your friends? Would you pray for your families? Would you pray for your church? There should not be a single student that doesn't have someone praying over them, praying for them, and praying with them. The rest of us, maybe you would just stand and you would join us in singing this simple, beautiful, powerful song.